Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 16th, 2017. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. My full review of Monday's WWE Raw. The Raw hit list is available. I'll be reading that a little bit later here in this particular podcast. Plus, the lineup for WWE Extreme Rules. A cool interview that Brian Fritz conducted with Hangman Page of Ring of Honor as he talks about giving up his teaching job once his run with Bullet Club started to fire up. And coming up after the break for non-members, we will look ahead to tonight's WWE SmackDown and 205 Live. Plus, we'll also be talking about how in-match advertising is returning to WWE television. WWE SmackDown is in Manchester, New Hampshire at SNHU Arena. It is the go-home show for Sunday's Backlash. WWE advertising a couple of matches so far, Randy Orton against Baron Corbin in a non-title match, and also the one that interests me, AJ Styles facing Jinder Mahal. And the reason I say it interests me is that, well, this is Mahal's night to shine, and they're putting him in there with arguably the best wrestler in the world, and, this is his night to go out there and prove what he can do both in the ring, and I would assume they're going to give him some promo time to sell his match with Randy Orton. And so as much as Sunday is a big deal for Jinder Mahal as he gets that WWE Championship match with Orton at the Backlash pay-per-view, this is a huge night as well. And even if you're not crazy about Jinder Mahal getting this push, I still find it very interesting. I enjoy watching the process, and doesn't mean it's going to work for him. Doesn't mean it's not going to. Let's see what he does tonight. So this is a very interesting evening for Jinder Mahal as we head into Sunday's Jinder Mania event. Of course, you can join Jake Barnett for live coverage of SmackDown as the show airs on USA Network at 7 Central, 8 Eastern Time. WWE 205 Live, the match advertised for that show, Austin Aries against TJP. I'm like, man, didn't they just do this? Well, about a month ago they did on 205 Live, and they probably did on Raw too, and I'm just forgetting. These are two of the more high-profile guys on WWE's Cruiserweight roster, and I really enjoy the in-ring work of both guys, and Austin Aries' promos and everything else. I gotta say, this doesn't appeal to me. I hate to say it, too, but it's not that I don't feel like they can go out there and have a really strong match. It might be one of those, I'll be recording SmackDown audio while the show airs, and I won't be surprised if I hear that, yeah, they tore the house down. Go out of your way to see it. But going into it, I'm just like, man, it's just everything about this Cruiserweight division feels so blah at the moment. And it's really been that way for quite some time. It's just you keep waiting for it to improve. You keep waiting for changes to be made, and there really are none. It's just the same thing week after week. I think one of the mistakes is just changing the look on Raw. Now when I see those purple ropes, you can just kind of look and know that, well, there's going to be some empty spots in the crowd. I mean, correspondents saying that when they see the ropes, it's the cue for bathroom break, concessions, whatever the case may be. And I don't blame the talent as much as I blame WWE for the way this whole thing is presented, both on Raw and 205 Live. I mean, you want to have the purple ropes for 205 Live? Cool. It's not an anti-purple thing. I'm a Vikings fan, for God's sake. But no, I mean, in all seriousness, on Raw, it's just you're telling people this is something different. And okay, if this had gotten off to a fast start and people were excited by it, well, that's something different. May have been a good thing. But it just hasn't worked that way. It's telling them, get ready for kind of the disappointing part of Raw. You know, just calm down. The Cruiserweights are coming out. It wasn't like that in WCW. They brought some life to the show. And it's just a shame. And I don't know when WWE is going to step up and realize that the formula they're going with isn't working. And they need to shake things up. Now, Zach Zimmerman, who was covering 205 Live for us, is moving back to NXT coverage on Wednesday now that his schedule allows it. And therefore, we will not have live coverage of 205 Live, for the time being at least. However, John Moore is going to be taking over the 205 Live reports, and his report should be available either late Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. I have to kind of pin that down with John to figure out when exactly he intends to watch that show. He also does the great Talking Smack recaps for us, and so I'm looking forward to seeing what John thinks of the show. He may be a little more, I mean, I'm sure he's been keeping an eye on it, don't get me wrong, but it'll be interesting to see if he's a little more optimistic than Zach and I have been now that Zach and I have both done our tours of duty covering the 205 Live show. It's like, maybe this will be the week it gets interesting, and then it just doesn't seem to happen, unfortunately. But watch, with my luck and Zach's luck, They'll just have a knockout show tonight. Everybody will be firing up about 205 Live, and John will be like, ha, I told you so. And John is also, by the way, going to be doing the audio reviews of the show, either and sometimes here on the All Access side and certainly on the member side of things on a weekly basis. NBC Universal is bringing back the picture-in-picture advertisements that they toyed with during SmackDown broadcast last year. BroadcastingCable.com reports that this concept, when they tested it last year, it really brought up the ratings by 13% during, you know, compared to other commercial breaks. And now they did this just a couple of times, and they're going to be bringing it back sometime later this month or next month. I'm all for it. I mean, I remember when they did this, it was like, oh, that's cool. And I didn't realize it was USA Network toying with this as much as I thought maybe this was an early approach of the WWE creatively in terms of trying to make SmackDown differently. And then it kind of faded away quickly. But this makes sense why they did it, why they tested it. And I'm not surprised that the number went up. I mean, what they do, you don't get the volume of the match. You just kind of get, like they say, a picture-in-picture. So a bigger ad playing, but at the same time, you can keep an eye on the match. And so there's no reason to grumble about this, because otherwise what you'd be getting is just the full screen of commercials and you wouldn't be able to keep an eye on the match. So it's a positive. And if it's keeping viewers watching the show, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think you'll start to see more of this, not just in WWE, but elsewhere in the entertainment world, for live sports and things of that nature. I don't know how interesting it's going to be to watch watch a football field or a hockey game while they're in commercial break, whereas WWE, they can actually, you know, they'll have a match going on, and you actually don't have to miss anything. And so I like it. I think it's a smart move, and if it's holding viewers, then I think you'll see a lot more of it as long as the advertisers are happy with it. The BroadcastingCable.com story also reported that WWE Network leads all advertisers in terms of money spent thus far in 2017 via USA Network. $742,418 spent thus far by WWE in 2017. I wish I knew what they used to pay for the pay-per-view events, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're spending more on the network. It'd be kind of an interesting comparison. And the reason I say I wouldn't be surprised we're spending more on the network ads is because, well, they're trying to really hard to get this network thing, trying to add to the success that they've already had. I mean, I think being at 1.5 million is a pretty good mark. And so they're just obviously going to be, you know, pumping up the network on a regular basis and trying to get new subscribers all the time. .NET members are listening to my full-length WWE Raw audio review from last night, plus the Q&A show that I recorded on Monday afternoon. They're also hearing the Progress Wrestling review from the Orlando show that was done during WrestleMania weekend. That review by Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed. One of the last, sadly, appearances of Darren Gutteridge. You can also listen to Darren explaining why, in a separate audio, he has decided to take a break from pro wrestling. And it's a really good, if you're frustrated by the current product, well, Darren's probably going to echo some of those same comments, but I think it was a really good discussion that Hayden and Darren had, and Darren's just kind of saying, you know, it's not for me, but he really gets into good detail as to why, when that whole feeling started, and he's not saying goodbye permanently. He admits he's going to be, he's going to the Progress show, so I think he still intends to keep an eye on them. But also, he is just going to take a break through, I think it's until the Royal Rumble is his plan, and, see what excites him at that point. I think it'll be interesting if Darren wants to pop on the show at that point to kind of get a feel for, okay, you've lived outside the wrestling bubble, you've kind of escaped things, you haven't been watching on a regular basis. Did this do it for you? Did this grab you? Did it grab your attention? And so I don't think you've heard the last of Darren on .NET, but as far as his full-time work, that's the end of the road. Now, I bring all of this up. I also want to mention that the members are going to be hearing audio reviews of the UK Championship special that WWE is going to be running on the network this week, plus Saturday's NXT TakeOver Chicago, and an audio review, as always, of Sunday's Backlash pay-per-view event. I do have a guest lined up for .NET Weekly on Thursday, which I'm excited about. I'm just going to kind of sit on that. I try not to jinx myself by putting a name out there and then having something fall through. But be on the lookout for that. I'm really looking forward to this to the interview that that I'll be doing as for .NET Weekly this week. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of the site, you know the drill. Visit the main page at prowrestling.net. Click into the sign-up area. Three different pricing options available for you. $7.50 gets you in the door for a month. But you can save some money by signing up for 6 months or the annual membership. That annual membership drops the price by an average of $2 a month, brings it down to $5.50 per month is what you end up paying when you sign up for annual membership at ProWrestling.net. And as always, if you have any questions, feel free to hit me up on Twitter @ProWrestlingNet or shoot me an email, dotnetjason@gmail.com. As always on Tuesdays, I am about to read my WWE Raw hit list. If you've already read it on the site, all good. Skip ahead. I will have some bonus thoughts on Raw. That said, the idea is that, hey, it's kind of a longer form article. Not everyone's got time for longer form. A little bit easier for people to listen in audio form. So let's get to it. Let's start with the WWE Raw hits. Finn Balor against Roman Reigns. This was the highlight of the night, with strong in-ring action combined with some good drama in terms of the outcome. The negative of the match was the broadcast team making so many excuses for Reigns due to his storyline injuries, only to have Reigns go over clean. The story told was that an injured Reigns is better than a healthy Balor. That said, it's only one loss for Balor to a top guy, and they can easily turn this around by giving him a meaningful win, perhaps even in the five-way at Extreme Rules. The problem with that scenario, though, is that if Balor was unable to defeat a one-armed Roman Reigns, why should viewers think he has any chance to defeat a healthy and rested Brock Lesnar? The next hit is Dean Ambrose and The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. A very good title match with a finish that set up the stipulation for the pay-per-view. Ambrose and Miz has been overexposed to the point that it was hard to feel any sense of excitement when the match was announced last week, but both guys worked really hard, and they breathed some life into this feud heading into Extreme Rules. The next hit is Alexa Bliss and Bayley. A little goes a long way. No, I'm not just talking about the diminutive stature of Bliss or Finn Balor as the broadcast team does to the point of an obsession. Rather, I'm referring to the kendo stick shot that Bliss delivered. The kendo stick strike looked good, and Bayley sold it like she'd been shot. We've seen male wrestlers dish out countless cane shots that didn't feel nearly as impactful as the single shot that Bayley took, and it's all thanks to the way she sold it. The kendo stick on a pole match sounds ridiculous, but if nothing else, it should keep the number of kendo stick shots to a minimum. And I'm all for that, just less is more sometimes. Now, on to Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt as our next hit. It's a minor one for a main event with no backstory. You know, these guys feuded during the Shield and Wyatt family days, but there's no real issue between them other than both guys being booked in that five-way. The fans seem interested in the match, but not enough to have a real strong rooting interest. The post-match angle was well done, though, with Samoa Joe causing the disqualification and then Wyatt taking out Joe with Sister Abigail to sell the idea of it being every man for himself at Extreme Rules. Another minor hit, this time for Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. It's the latest singles match in the ongoing tag team feud. Sheamus missed the first brogue kick on Matt Hardy on the apron, but it's actually kind of encouraging to see him pull back a bit, given that he just kicked Jeff's tooth out of his mouth. It was a bit awkward when he simply executed the move a second time, but they managed to move on from it without there being a major issue. I found it interesting that Sheamus and Cesaro had a really flat promo last week and didn't get any mic time this week, and Sheamus ended up losing yet another singles match to the tag champs. It's a shame that Vince McMahon still has a hang-up about using managers, because these guys would really benefit from the right mouthpiece. The next hit is Goldust attacking R-Truth. Goldust played the part of the understanding tag team partner during the backstage segment and seemed sincere in his attempt to boost the spirits of his apologetic sidekick. Therefore, the attack on Truth just minutes later was a real surprise. WWE can't possibly go as far with the Goldust character antics as they did when he first arrived, but I hope they are sincere about doing more with this character beyond just setting up an undercard program with R-Truth. The final hit is Alicia Fox against Sasha Banks, and I know not everyone's going to see it that way, but the match outcome was one of the real surprises of the night. Sasha is kind of on the outside looking in as Alexa Bliss feuds with Bayley and also is trying to avoid Nia Jax, so Sasha needs something to do aside from just squashing Fox. It's not like there's a lot of depth there in that division. Giving Alicia a rare win hurt Sasha in the moment, but I think it was a very necessary move if they want to turn this into a real feud. I'll even add to that by saying I'm just happy that Sasha's away from Bayley. I mean, how many times did we see, oh, Bayley's out, here comes Sasha to fight her battles for her, whether it's physically or on the mic. And so, yeah, go ahead and move them away from one another. And it's I assume that Sasha's going to come back and win the program. But in the meantime, I think it made sense. On to the Raw misses, and there's not too many of them. Neville and TJP against Austin Aries and Jack Gallagher. As much as I enjoy the work of all four men, the Cruiserweight division is in a bad place. WWE has very good talent to work with, but the storytelling and presentation of the division are just plain dreadful. The Cruiserweights in WCW delivered an energy boost to Nitro on most nights, whereas a mere camera shot of the purple ropes or other cosmetic changes used for the Cruiserweights now feels like a cue to change the channel. Final miss? Kind of a minor one. Big Cass and Titus O'Neil. Titus performing his own version of Enzo Amore's entrance routine was mildly amusing. The home state crowd was hot for Enzo Amore, yet the act just feels like it's lost a spark that made those early Enzo and Big Cass Raw appearances feel must-see. Now for some bonus thoughts on last night's WWE Raw. It's going to be interesting to see if WWE can sell the masses on the possibility of the winner of the five-way match at Extreme Rules really being a threat to Brock Lesnar. I mean, I'd love to see Brock against Joe. I don't think that match is going to happen, just at least right now. I mean, it just doesn't seem like that's the direction they're going in with Joe. I mean, they could position Brock as the babyface in this, just as they would have to, I think, if he's going to be going in there with the Bray Wyatt, for instance. Now, I mentioned in the hit list that it would be tough to sell Balor as a threat to Brock when he couldn't beat One-Arm Roman, but what if the plan is for Balor to actually beat a healthier Roman to win the five-way? It would help. I don't see Roman winning this. I think they want to save Lesnar and Roman, probably for WrestleMania, but certainly a bigger setting. And I can't say that Lesnar and Rollins really jumps off the page right now. You know, if it's just, well, we got to get through this pay-per-view, okay, well, then maybe you go with him. And you know, winning a five-way month would certainly help Seth's cause as far as heating him up a little bit. Wyatt got the big moment to shine at the end of Raw last night, and it's worth noting he was supposed to face Brock on one of those kind of standalone network specials, but if memory serves, he ended up getting hurt and Luke Harper kind of replaced him in the match, and so, you know, maybe it's a match they want to go back to. No one really jumps out in a major way, but it is worth adding that as far as the crowd reaction is concerned last night, that the little graphics that they showed for each guy in the five-way and Brock Lesnar, of those, Balor clearly received the best response. And so, I mean, doesn't mean that WWE is going to listen to the fans at this point, especially if they feel like, yeah, it's not Balor's time. We want to save that match for somewhere down the road. I mean, they've already kind of brought it up before, as you know, they've already had Balor talking about wanting his Universal Championship back, so they may end up going to it now. But you know, if they have a plan for it, say at Survivor Series instead or something like that, they may hold course. You know, that's the thing about this match, is that even though I think it's going to be tough to sell people on Brock Lesnar losing at Great Balls of Fire, you know, I think there's going to be some real intrigue if the finish doesn't get out when it comes to who wins the five-way match at Extreme Rules. And, you know, and as I've used this example before several times, but, I, you know, when I say it's going to be kind of a tough sell to for any of these guys to look like a threat to Brock, I always think back to when Sting was challenging Seth Rollins for the championship, and there was just no reason to think that Sting was going to be winning that championship, and yet I'd be on the live cast with Wade Keller, which I will be tomorrow, pwtorchlivecast.com, noon Central, 1 Eastern. But I'd be on there, and people would be calling in asking if, hey, do you think Sting's going to win the championship, which, you know, tells you that they think there's a chance that he's going to win. And even was like, no, I don't. You know, I mean, there people would kind of make their point that they explaining reasons why they thought Sting was going to beat Rollins in that particular match. And so the point is that, yeah, it may not see. And if you know you're kind of aware of WrestleMania plans, or you suspect you are anyway, you suspect that it's going to be Reigns and Lesnar for the championship, you know, there's still going to be fans that are aware of that, that are convinced themselves that, yeah, but they could do. There's nothing stopping them from doing a change now and getting it back on Brock before then. I mean, I still think Lesnar's going to come out of this as champion, but WWE, it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of sell the masses on the possibility of somebody else winning. Little thing, Wasn't crazy to see Neurotic Sammy is actually a thing in WWE. If you missed it, they acted like his character called Kurt Angle last night, and Angle basically gave him the "Don't call me, I'll call you" treatment. Not good. It was nice to hear ring announcer JoJo actually announce the finish of the main event between Rollins and Bray Wyatt as a DQ win for Rollins due to the Joe interference. And I say this because it's not uncommon for WWE just to not have the ring announcer say anything, just kind of leave fans assuming whatever they want. Yeah, it's probably a DQ. You see this more in the no contest situations, but I've never understood the approach. I think it makes the match outcomes feel less important than they should. So hopefully this is a sign that they're kind of changing the way they do this, and you're actually going to hear the ring announcer just go ahead and address what the finish is, even if it's a, hey, no contest, double DQ, however they want to frame it, or a DQ in this case. The majority of the voters in our poll last night gave Raw a B grade, and you can still vote in the poll, but I post that it's available, basically when Raw goes off the air. And so if you're looking to kind of sound off on Raw, one way, positive, negative, whatever the case may be, go to prowrestling.net. You should be all ready for my live reviews of the show, but if you're not, you can always vote in our poll afterward. And as far as that, the B grade that the majority gave it, I agree. I mean, the hit list was lopsided. I didn't think this was like a slam dunk, great Raw or anything, but it was newsworthy because of the announcement of the Elimination Chamber main event and even the other four matches. But there was also some good in-ring action and some storyline development. And so I thought this was certainly a much better show than kind of the lifeless edition that we got last week in London. Finally, today, do you want to help us spread the word about this podcast and ProWrestling.net? I sure hope you do. Take a moment, subscribe to our podcast, rate and review us on iTunes. When I put the link out there on Twitter, a simple retweet helps. I really appreciate all of you who have taken the time to do one or more of those things. And as for tomorrow, my guess is that, still haven't set the plan, but my guess is you will hear John Moore's first crack at 205 Live coverage. I'll talk to John. I think you'll be hearing his all-access audio review of 205 Live. Let's all kind of keep it in mind together. Like, let's see how John does. He's probably going to come in a little chipper. It's not so bad. It's not so bad. And then let's listen to him again, maybe a month from now. If you're a member, of course, you can listen to his reviews every week, and you'll be able to kind of chart the way things go. I mean, hey, I hope this show gets better, but if it doesn't, I'm curious to see when John reaches that breaking point, just as someone on Twitter was, .NET member David Owens, pointing out that he wonders how long it'll take John to feel defeated covering 205 Live. He said he's enjoyed Zim's descent into madness. John's response: "What's the worst that can happen? I've covered the X Division for 2 years." And we'll see. The X Division can be frustrating, but I got to say, 205 Live can be downright boring. But again, thank you so much for listening today, and I will talk to you guys again very soon. Take care.